happen.
Whether you're in search of a great new bottle of wine or you want a rundown of the best brunch spots in the area, Mike and Stu have the answer. With a combined half century in the industry, they bring their wealth of experience to bring you the latest trends, expert opinions, and interviews with people in the know. They are the dynamic duo of dining.
Oh, it's a wine and food show, Stu.
It's a food and wine show, trust me.
Look right here, it's Sip and Chew. It's wine and food.
Because Chew rhymes with Stew, that's the only reason.
Oh, you glorified fry cook.
Yeah, grape killer.
Now it's time to Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
That's how we can tell you're in the studio.
Are you going to say anything, Mike?
I'm waiting for the music to fade out.
Well, it fades when you start talking.
Oh, is that how it works? Yeah. You'd think nearly 6 years I'd have this down by now.
Well, it's early in the morning.
Well, good morning, gentlemen and folks out there in Radio Land, and thank you to our sponsors,
Bob's
Diner out there, and who makes the show possible.
Charlie said he made it down this week.
Yeah, Charlie, you got to give us a report.
We had a great lunch, and I enjoyed meeting Tony and Hannah and the young man that works the kitchen back there behind him.
Jeremy.
Yeah, Jeremy, and good food. And
you know, we have we call him, his nickname is Ducky.
Ducky.
Yeah, we call him Ducky. Jeremy's name is Ducky.
Okay.
That's what we call him.
Is there a reason for that?
Does he wear a hat?
I just go with the flow, Charlie. Okay. That's when I was introduced to him, I was introduced to him as Ducky, and I've been calling him that.
When
and
the
Jeremy.
Police shows up, he ducks
and,
out?
And some other names I've called him too. So.
I'll look out now.
But he's a mighty fine cook.
Hey, if you're in town this morning and you want to know where the locals eat, Bob's Diner is one of those places, and they got brunch on Sunday.
And Saturdays.
Yeah, slinging the juice.
Bottomless mimosas.
I've been going in there, and I've been having to get the virgin mimosas because that'd just be plain orange juice.
Yeah.
You're just leaving your past
behind. But every time I order, I say orange juice, and they start to pull the bottle out. I say, no, I can't have any of that. I'm working today or
virgin
still working.
Working out.
Still working.
Getting buff. Beefcake.
I don't think he's there yet, Stu.
No.
He's looking fit and trim.
I'm not a beefcake. I'm just I don't know what I am.
Teddy bear. Yeah.
But, hey, I was watching Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives last night.
Hey, that's a good show.
And saw Stretch.
Stretch, Ruminar.
Yeah, funny guy. Funny guy.
And multi-talented. He's a heck
he's an
of a
artist.
Sculptor. Yeah.
Yeah. I did not know that about him.
Yeah, he actually makes the trophies for one of the major barbecue cook-offs, something in Kansas City, naturally, because that's where his restaurants are.
Right.
In the Kansas City area, but he actually sculpts them.
Yeah.
With blowtorch and stainless
grinders
steel.
And...
Yeah.
I was just blown up. Luann and I sat there watching it. We got back from Montgomery. We didn't feel like doing anything. Just
and he
around.
Pronounced it right, folks. Montgomery. The T is silent.
Yeah. It was her mother's 96 years old. Her mother's sister was turned 100, and then her mother's their baby brother was there, and from Houston he was 93. So he had a 93-year-old, a 96-year-old, and a 100-year-old. Person there.
Plus, you're what, 107?
Whatever. You better watch out, boy. I ain't far behind him.
Could you outrun all those folks?
I don't know. The brother still drives.
Yeah.
And smart. I mean, he just that. But Luann's mother's quick with wit. I mean, she just boom. She just throws them back at you. That's how I want to be.
I bet she has a field day when you're there.
Oh, we have a good
time. I bet. So, I bet.
They say they say kids say the funniest things. older senior citizens say the funniest things.
Yeah.
Well, you know what it is.
We
don't have to be PC.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My best friend for years is like, I wish someone would tell me what the exact age is where you can say anything you want, and instead of saying, oh, he's racist or sexist or bigoted, people just go, he's old.
Or they just
he's
get this.
That's the age he wants to be.
Or they get this knowing look that they share, you know, like, hey, we can overlook him.
But we had a good time. We came back home, ate some big time diner.
That's great.
Got some big time Big time diner to go.
Big time diner, huh?
Mm-hmm. I got the chili, the Philly cheese on rice instead of bread. I'm trying to cut my bread back.
I will tell you, and this is
that's and the gumbo. I got Leon's gumbo. Good stuff.
Just about every time I go there, I get hamburger steak and gravy. But I always get my gravy over rice instead of mashed potatoes. It's not that I dislike mashed potatoes. Yeah. They're wonderful. But I get mashed potatoes and gravy. I need a nap. I get mashed potatoes and rice. I can go back to work.
Yeah.
It doesn't weigh me down as much.
Let me mention, we ate at a buffet place that used to be a Ryan's and a Western Sizzler at one time up in Montgomery. And you know, it was average buffet food, okay? Mm-hmm. It was average buffet food.
Yeah.
They kept it full.
Right.
They kept bringing it out. But I'm going to tell you, that place was slam-packed. Mm-hmm. And you know why? I think this is the reason
why. Because it's all you can eat.
Because the owners were so friendly. Mm. They were Asian people. But it was a mix of all different nationalities and races working there. But you could tell who the owners were.
Right.
And they just, how you doing? They're hands on. They're out there filling the buffet up. And they said, how you doing? Man, thank y'all for coming. And they were just as friendly as they could be.
And that's a true owner. See, there's this thing that in this industry, the restaurant industry, where people go, I own a restaurant. I'm a restaurant owner. Oh, you are? Well, I must get tiring. Oh, well, no, well, I have people that run it for me. Well, you're not a restaurant owner then.
Yeah.
An owner is in the restaurants 40 hours or more a week.
Right.
Anyone that hires other people to run it for you, you're not an owner. You're just an investor. So pipe down, sit down, let the experts do what they're doing.
I wanted to follow up on something Mike was just saying. But every time I do, you guys say, there you go, promoting another Fern restaurant. Sometimes I don't know if they're Fern or not. But
talking about Fern Lobby? Lobby?
Yeah.
Fern bars.
Because we really do like to go to New China Doll out at Pine Brook Shopping Center.
That's low.
And their service is second to none. Well, I mean, it's great.
Even the other employees there that were out there on the floor bringing you silverware, feeling they were just the friendliest people you could ever ask for.
And their English may not be great, but they get it done.
Well, neither is Mike's.
Well, true.
I make up my own words.
And he's on the radio. We know. And he's on the radio.
He owns a George W. Bush thesaurus.
That's the one with the
I can hear Phil laughing over here.
Well, that was a good one.
Like the wit and wisdom of Jerry Ford.
Right? Yeah, see, he understood. I didn't know what you're talking about. But hey, I do want to give a big shout out to a fundraiser, a bunch of fundraisers yesterday.
Okay.
Panini Pizza, they had their at Seafood Shed. They had the pancake dinner breakfast. Mm-hmm. I wish I could have gone to that, but I had to go to Montgomery for the.
I had to sleep in.
So. Okay, and then but out at Cowboys and Angels, they raised over $4,000 for Officer Sean Tudor, with car washes, dinners, and donations. And they did that for the officer last year, Bella. They raised a bunch of money for him. But there's also another one coming up, I think, at Magnolia Manor downtown on one night coming up. We'll post it on our Facebook.
Google it,
page.
Y'all. Google it.
We'll look on Facebook, and then they're going to do another fundraiser for the Tudor family, and I'm going to say they didn't deserve to lose their father, their husband, their family member.
And you can't have too many fundraisers because here's a young man, prime of life, breadwinner for his family, gone.
Yeah, and here's a young mother, a young wife, who's lost her husband, and the baby's lost her dad. Yeah. And
those things always affect me on a personal level because my family spent 36 years dreading that phone call.
Yeah.
I
know. Your dad, law enforcement,
right.
Yes.
And at one point, half the family was in it. My brother was a deputy sheriff for a couple of years, and both my sister-in-law was a dispatcher for Mobile City, and her mother was a dispatcher of Mobile City. So, you remember back in the early 70s when deputies David Beck and John Stoltz.
Yeah, I remember that.
And my dad and my brother were in on that manhunt. And I just remember as a kid, we're seeing these friends of ours, dying on TV.
Yeah.
And my sister-in-law goes, oh, my gosh, that's David
and
that's
surreal.
John.
It's surreal.
All right, and we're sitting there, and all I'm thinking is, Mary, you don't have to worry about Steve. Daddy's there.
Yeah.
Nothing can happen if my dad is there, and I'm 5 years old at this time.
Yeah.
And granted, Nothing happened to Steve.
I was working at Del Champs there at Pine Brook.
Yeah.
When that happened. Because I always thought it was hundreds of police cars going west.
Yeah. But at age five, that entire scenario was delivered to me that this could be us seeing my dad or my brother on TV.
Exactly.
One day. And
yes.
Like I say, part of it was he was mean as a rattlesnake.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when it came to dealing with nefarious people.
Oh yeah.
And but he never.
There's
once
a word I've never used before.
People?
Nefarious.
Oh, okay.
But you were too young to understand that it could have happened to your dad.
No, that was the beginning of realizing this could be Daddy or Steve.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
And well, could be Steve.
By the way, guys, I had misplaced all my time cards, so we're well past our time.
Okay.
Oh, okay. But Mike, you wanted to talk about an anniversary.
I did want to talk about an anniversary today. Today is the 60th anniversary of when the Big Bopper, Buddy Holly,
Ricky
Valance died. The day the music died, and somebody wrote a song about it.
Yeah.
And it should be playing any moment now.
We're professionals here, folks, believe it or not.
Long time ago, I can still remember how that music used to make me smile. And I knew if I had my chance that I could make those people dance, and maybe they'd be happy for a while. But February made me shiver with every paper I'd deliver. Bad news on the doorstep, I couldn't take one more step. I can't remember if I cried when I read about his widowed bride, but something touched me deep inside the day the music died. So bye-bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. And them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, singing, this'll be the day that I die. This'll be the day that I die.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Hey, this is Chef Dan Navarre with the South Baldwin Center for Technology, and you're listening to the Sip and Chew.
That is a pork-centric chef right there.
Who?
Dan Navarre.
Yes.
Pork-centric?
Yeah, a man loves him some pig.
Mm-hmm.
He's the chef that turned me on to that El Patia in Loxley. Great little Mexican restaurant on the right after you get off the interstate near.
Oh yeah,
near where Burris's farm was and will soon
it
be
is.
Relocated.
No,
again.
It's already there.
It's reopened again.
Yeah, it's reopened.
Good. I hadn't been there in a while. So, but yeah, that little Mexican restaurant is the place to eat in
an old 7-Eleven building.
Yeah, it is terrific.
I hadn't been there yet.
Yeah, but Dan is real deal. His Hispanic origin is front and center, starting with his last name, Navarro. But he had told me, you know, they're doing some real deal stuff there, some genuine food you would find in the interior of Mexico, not stuff you would find at a Tex-Mex. Still a great cuisine.
Yeah.
I enjoy them both, but I really do enjoy someone that does the authentic Mexican, because it's different than what most of us think of as Mexican.
I think Los Rancheros, when they first came to Mobile, people had a hard time grasping them because they were so used to El Chico's.
El Chico.
Yeah, and so it really took them a while for people to say, you know, that's real stuff there. Yeah. You're eating that Americanized stuff over there restaurant.
Los Rancheros is still Tex-Mex.
Yeah. You got to Americanize it for people to come
right,
in and
but
support
it's,
it.
Well, it's funny. Mexican food is broken up into several categories. There's authentic Mexican. There's the Mexican that we consider Mexican, Don't blow up, Mike.
I look like an Oogie doll.
That most people in America consider authentic Mexican, yeah. which is actually Tex-Mex. Mm-hmm. Los Rancheros, Aztecas, they do wonderful examples of Tex-Mex.
Yeah. And I like Tex-Mex.
Yeah, I do too. I really enjoy it. But, and it's American food.
And when I've been to Mexico. Because
it comes from Texas,
and
not
when
Mexico.
I've been to Mexico, it don't taste anything like it does
right.
here.
Right, and I and love the authentic Mexican stuff.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Part of Texas is just like Mexico.
Most of Texas was Mexico.
True.
All of Texas was
before
Mexico.
It became its own country.
Yes, the mm-hmm. Republic of Texas. But the categories continue. The authentic Mexican, then the Tex-Mex that Americans consider authentic, which is actually Tex-Mex. Then there's the chain version of Tex-Mex. And that would be your chilies, mm-hmm. stuff like that, which isn't Tex-Mex at all. That's actually pushed over into what's called Gringo Mex, where it's more American than it is Latino.
Just throw some peppers in there and call it Mexican.
Well, if there's yellow cheese, it's not Mexican food.
Right.
There's no yellow cheese in Mexico for the most part. If there's crunchy tortillas, it's probably not Mexican food.
Well, what do they put on their hamburgers?
Avocado.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
On the Caribbean side of Cozumel Island, away from San Miguel, I think that's the name of the town. Never can remember the city name. But anyhow, on the other side where the locals go to beach on Sunday when the cruise ships don't show up, there's a Senor Iguanas over there. And and that's got to be pretty much authentic Mexican food because it's locals that eat over there. And it's surprising to me, it was not very spicy at all.
Mm-mm. No, that depends on what region you're in Mexico as to how prevalent chilies are in the food. It's just like in Chicago, they don't use a lot of cayenne pepper.
Mm-hmm.
But here along the Gulf Coast, where cayennes grow naturally,
yeah,
we use a lot of cayenne pepper.
We like to heat it up.
Right. And Mexico is no different. Each region, the state in Mexico that I'm really fascinated with that I want to travel to is Oaxaca. You would not pronounce it that way if you saw it spelled because the first letter is an O. But they are – that is where we're familiar with the phrase mole. And the only mole that most Americans know is guacamole, the green one.
Ah.
But a mole is a type of sauce made by pressing dried chilies and seeds and stuff together with some oil. And, you know, the more popular mole when people see chicken mole on a menu, it's made with dark, unsweetened chocolate, along with the peppers and stuff. And then the other sauces that they have in that region are called pepians, and I may be pronouncing that incorrectly. The base of those is roasted pumpkin seeds, ground into a paste, and then they add the seeds in. And in Oaxaca alone, there are probably 20 different moles and a dozen or two dozen pepians.
So the guacamole is avocado?
Yes, it's yeah. And a mole, it's going to predate Colombian America. The name is probably going to be Aztec or Mayan in origin or one of the other native tribes there. It means like a mixture, I believe. But, I mean, that is – Oaxaca is hardcore. The other thing that Oaxaca has is that's where you'll find the market with all of the insects to eat. Fried grasshoppers and ants.
Love me some bugs.
Yeah, I see that crickets are coming back.
Yeah. But the main thing about Oaxaca, the band?
No. Buddy Holly.
No, the gourmet version.
In less than 100 years, folks, the majority of human beings on this planet will get their protein from insects.
Whether you know
you
it or
heard
not.
It here.
Where you, whether you, know you care it or not. Yeah. We're not going to be able to produce enough cow, chicken, and pig to feed every human on the planet in 100 years.
Unless
we are
have
wasting every penny of money we put into research trying to extend life is wasted money if we can't get off this rock and occupy another one.
Mm-hmm.
We're already saturated with human beings.
I had a conservation professor at Southern Miss brought in the chocolate-covered ants and the fried grasshopper bodies. And believe it or not, about half of the class, I wasn't in that half, actually tasted them.
Mm-hmm.
I just couldn't bring myself at that tender age to eat a grasshopper.
If I go someplace that's part of the culture, there are parts of Asia that eat insects as well. The mm-hmm. termites are very popular in parts of Africa, very nutritious.
Yeah.
If it's with someone who knows what they're doing.
Maybe that's what we need to do here, start eating termites, and so they'll quit eating our houses and stuff.
Well,
what do you got against the bug people?
If that eradicates every problem. Oh, I left out one category of Mexican, by the way.
What's that?
And that it's very American, but it's very spirited. That's Southwestern cuisine, which takes influence from the chilies and stuff in Mexico, mm-hmm. but also uses a lot of the wild game found in the Southwest.
And they don't claim to be Mexican.
No, they don't. It is Southwestern cuisine, but you cannot negate the Mexican influence on Southwestern cuisine.
So does Moe's have that, the Southwest Grill?
No. They don't serve any South. They don't serve any. They serve Gringo Mex.
Oh, okay.
That is what that is. When everything tastes the same but just has a different shape. You know, Moe's, and, you know, we all know, welcome to Moe's. That's annoying. People need to stop doing the welcome and screaming it when people walk in a restaurant because it makes me want to leave.
Yeah, I want to sneak in without notice.
Yeah. But
a stealth customer?
Yeah.
That's it.
Their food is very indicative of everything here tastes exactly the same, but we can turn it into tacos, nachos, or burrito, which is your preference.
Mm-hmm.
But it all tastes the same.
I had my first fish tacos about a month ago and surprised it was great.
Oh, they're fantastic. Mike loves it when people do tacos on Studio 10. He loves
burned
it.
Burned out. Hey, what's the origins of Sloppy Joe's?
I don't know.
They did a gourmet Sloppy Joe last night on Triple D.
Mm-hmm. Can there be such a thing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
A gourmet Sloppy
Joe? Oh, yeah. Start out with ground venison.
Well, it looked like at first this guy was making bolognese.
Because
he's putting everything in there that you put in bolognese.
Mm-hmm. And then what? Added some brown sugar or something?
Yeah, ketchup and tomato paste. Yeah. Next time I make, I'm going to do
that's pretty much what a Sloppy Joe is ketchup and tomato paste.
I love Sloppy Joe. Sloppy Joe. I love them.
I can see why one of us was a professional musician and the other one is you.
Well, Charlie told me I hit pitch perfect sometimes.
No, he said you can't carry a tune in a bucket. That was what he said.
Or a pail.
I could see where you would confuse the two.
Yeah, maybe so.
Yeah. Hey, you know what we're doing in the next segment?
What?
You and I are taking a nap.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going to play some audio that we got from World Food Championship.
Okay.
How does that sound?
And then after that next segment, we're going to do.
We can
talk about
local. We can do it in the same segment.
Y'all want to quit talking now?
Okay. Yeah, we'll shut up. Sorry, Charlie.
Chicken, ice cream, fish.
I like ice cream. What's this?
This is juice. This is juice. Uh-oh, uh-oh, uh-oh.
I like chicken.
I like fish.
I like ice cream.
What's this?
This is juice.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Hey, this is Patty from The Warehouse, and you're listening to Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu.
February 10th, she'll be here.
She'll be here. Hey, yeah. We want to mention again that our sponsor, and we're here because of our sponsor.
Yes, we are.
Bob's Diner, down at the corner of Fat and Happy.
Yep.
And all those folks, they're not all fat, but they're happy.
Yeah. But it's actually St. Francis at Jackson Street.
Yes, it is.
You want to be all technical, Charlie.
You know, I'm going to tell you what. Downtown is booming with construction right now, mm-hmm. and I wish they'd hurry up.
I got a nail in my tire to prove it.
I wish they'd hurry up and finish St. Louis Street because I'm having to go around big old holes and ditches they're digging to – put all that technical new stuff in, but it's real modernized getting down there right now.
Yeah.
I can't
talk. And if you haven't been downtown in a while, if you haven't been downtown in a while, it's hard to remember which way the one-way streets go.
That's because they've changed half of them.
Yeah.
Well, remember, Royal Street is a two-way street now, and for 50 years it was a one-way street.
The number of them, they've changed two-way streets now.
Yeah. Well, St. Francis was one-way for the
longest
time. I
wish they'd bring the brick streets back.
Well, St. Francis is one way westbound now, so if you're going to Bob's Diner, next time we go, we're going up by Seville Square, get on St. Francis, and go out.
Going all the way to Pensacola?
And I keep doing that. They need to rename our square, Seville.
No, we're French. Yeah. Oh, that's they're not.
Yeah, they're
we're
Spanish.
French, and they're not.
Seville is French, isn't it?
No.
No, it's not Spanish.
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 Espanol.
Well, back in November, Mike and I had the pleasure of hanging out down at Orange Beach at the Wharf at the World Food Championships.
Yes.
And we did the show live from there.
Mm-hmm.
I was there. Mm-hmm. Then we did an extended Facebook Live.
Yeah.
After the show, where I went around and interviewed some people, we've got some more interviews, in-depth interviews, that we're going to play that I recorded just the audio to, and Charlie's going to pull that up. But this is just me walking around the tasting village at World Food Championships, talking to people that I saw.
Okay.
Hey, this is Stu at World Food Championships, and we are here in the heart of Dixie, in Orange Beach, about to talk to Dixie Dirt.
Take it away. What is Dixie Dirt?
Well, Dixie Dirt is all-purpose seasoning. Formulated, when I first invented it and formulated it, I formulated it just to mainly cook Boston butts. And a lot of people would ask me, what would I put on my butts? And I'd just say, well, it's just a seasoning blend that I made. And then someone told me one day, they said, well, it looks like you dropped it in the dirt. Mm. And it just sort of, bing, a little bell went off. I said, well, there's my name right there, Dixie Dirt, because it looked like it had been dropped in the dirt. Okay. Where we're from in South Alabama, it's almost a red clay-looking dirt, and yep. Our Dixie Dirt seasoning looks a lot like the dirt at okay. home. So.
All right, and what makes it stand out? What is your key?
It makes everything. I mean, we use it on everything, and I know everybody says that,
right.
But we use it on, like I say, on pork. We use it on steak. I've cooked the best prime rib I have ever tasted the other day. I've cooked brisket with it. I've cooked shrimp with it. I cook fish with it. We cook deer with it. We cook duck with it. We cook quail. We season vegetables with it. Little red potatoes cubed up with Dixie Dirt and olive oil roasted in the oven. You it won't get any better than that right there.
And that's what I just tasted on the cracker, right?
Right.
That's a lot of black pepper, and I
yeah.
love that.
Yeah, it does have a lot of black pepper in it.
That is fantastic stuff. And if somebody wants to get a hold of this, where can they go?
Get it right now online down in this area. It would be online. It's DixieDirtRub.com.
That's easy to remember. Are yep. you going to be available on Amazon or something like that soon? Are you
trying
to get in the marketplace?
We're trying to. We're working steadily working that way. We're in a few grocery stores, you know, back around home. We're from Andalusia.
That's what I was about to ask.
And,
what part of Alabama
we're from Andalusia. And
there's a little bit of barbecue up in that area.
Yeah, there is. And like I say, we and a few independent type grocery stores and a few of the Piggly Wiggly stores, places like that. So gift stores, meat markets, we've got them scattered all over kind of the southeast and a bit like that. So.
All right. Well, thanks for representing the heart of Dixie.
Thank you very much.
Hey, this is Stuart of the World Food Championships in Orange Beach, Alabama, and I am here with one of my favorite products, Red Gold Tomatoes, and we're just going to talk a little bit.
You have a lot of different tomatoes here.
Yes, we do. That's all we do, tomatoes. We don't do anything else. That's what we're good at, and that's what we've done for 75 years.
75 years doing tomatoes.
Yes,
outstanding.
Sir. Fourth generation family-owned, family-grown company.
And that's why it's so good. I mean, this is one of the premium tomato canners in the world, in my opinion. I love using Red Gold.
Thank you. We think so, too. What's unique about us is that we actually know the growers who grow our products. We've worked with some of them for as many generations as we've been around, so fourth generation family farms with a fourth generation family ran company. Not a lot of people can say that.
Exactly.
We see people talk about, oh, we're family farmed and so forth, but we truly know them on a personal basis and have worked with many of them for years and years.
Yeah, well, you've got a great product. Do you know how many different tomato products you have?
Oh, my goodness. It would depend on the...
Is it more than three?
Oh, definitely more than three. You know, especially when you get into the diced tomato products, you can
right.
have anything from the flavored dice to the regular dice. We have the no-salt dice. You know, we've got them in the different sizes. We've got the dice with green chilies and the 10-ounce and a 14.5-ounce. So we've just got pretty much every flavor you want. My favorite is the lime and cilantro green chilies. It's delicious out of the can over tacos. It's my favorite product.
All right. And if anybody wants to learn more about Red Gold Tomatoes, where can they go?
RedGoldTomatoes.com.
And y'all, I believe y'all have a Facebook page, and I think you have an Instagram, and I think you have a Twitter, and I think I follow every one of them.
Red Gold Tomatoes on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. Instagram. Yeah, all of them.
All right, fantastic. And
well, I'm not very good at it, but I'll do my best. I'm good at other parts.
Hey, this is Stu. We're at World Food Championships, and I'm about to talk with the good folks at Challenge Butter. I love their butter, so let's hear all about it.
Thanks so much, Stu. We are incredibly excited to be back at the World Food Championships. We are the official butter of the World Food Championships. And many people don't know, we're actually a co-op of 400 family-owned dairies out of California. We're a century old, and we just were chosen by Cook's Illustrated magazine as the number one unsalted butter in America.
And what's great is you have a salted that I saw that's sea salt. I got several pounds of that yesterday. Mm-hmm. And she's a salted butter person. I'm an unsalted. And I think that one's going to go right down the middle on us.
Well, I mean, the nice thing about our butter is it's lightly salted, but we're very exact in our measurements. So about a quarter of a teaspoon of salt in each stick of butter is what you'll find. So you can take that away from whatever you're cooking, or if you like your baked goods a little sweet, savory, then it's just that perfect amount.
And the butter is fantastic. I know we have it locally here in Winn-Dixie's and Rouse's. Where else can we look for Challenge Butter if we can't find it in our grocery store?
Well, Supercenter, Walmart should be carrying it. If you don't see it in the dairy case, tell the store manager that you'd like them to carry Challenge Butter, and we'll do our best to make it happen.
All right, and do y'all have a website if people want to learn more about it?
Absolutely. So challengedairy.com. There's also a store locator within our website. You can also follow us on Facebook, Challenge Butter, and we have the largest butter fan base on Facebook, and rightfully so. Over a million fans.
All right. Well, I sure appreciate it. Thanks for being on Sip and Chew.
Thanks so much for stopping by.
Now, when I went by, our good friend Brittany Furby, who was on the show, was doing some demonstrations with them. But that young lady won Heather's heart by simply having fresh bread with butter on it.
Can you get those tomatoes and butter here?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that is. In fact, I'll tell you, Red Gold actually cans the tomatoes for Walmart's Great Value tomatoes.
No kidding.
Yeah, they do the canning for it. But yeah, Challenge Butter is at Winn-Dixie for sure.
Yeah, that's where I found it.
Rouse's.
I wanted it in the tub. Now, Rouse's has it in the sticks.
That's what
not
I like.
The tub.
Yeah.
And I found the tub at Winn-Dixie.
Yeah, I just use sticks.
I use mine sparingly.
Is the tub butter fluffed generously up a little bit? Cause it seems
yeah, it's
to me
whipped with air.
It's easier to spread.
Yeah, it is. If you've ever seen anyone make cookies,
uh-huh,
Charlie, they let the butter sit out for a while, then they put it in a mixer and mix the butter up, and they'll mm-hmm add like sugar and stuff to it. That's called creaming the butter, and uh-huh what you're doing is whipping air into it to make it lighter and easier to spread. And that's just what they do for those whipped butters.
Oh, okay.
It's the same process.
In France,
learned something new today.
In France,
where they talk Frenchy talk,
bread and butter on every table
mm-hmm
all the time, and the butter is kind of sweet tasting.
Yeah,
it's smooth. It's real spreadable.
Mm-hmm.
It's pure butter. It's yeah almost like a cream.
It's also at room temperature too.
Yeah, and yeah,
which
and,
is
and
where,
see,
really where butter should be.
I can't stand when you're in a restaurant and they bring you out hard, cold butter.
But you've got to.
And that's because they're uncaring.
No, because the restaurant industry is the most overregulated industry in the
you're
country,
right,
and most of the regulation does absolutely nothing for the customer.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And it's they just have you noticed ketchup bottles say refrigerate after opening? There is no reason whatsoever to ever refrigerate ketchup. It should never happen.
To be honest with you, I hardly eat ketchup anymore. I really
yeah
don't.
Well, Heather doesn't like it, and mm-hmm so I don't use it on very much. In most cases where I would eat, most people eat ketchup, like with french fries. The only reason I put ketchup on french fries is because french mm-hmm fries are cold and nasty.
Mm-hmm.
A well-cooked french fry needs nothing. But if I got a barbecue sauce, I will dip my french fries
now
in barbecue sauce.
I know
sauce
people who do that.
Yeah. It's just what ketchup should have been is what barbecue sauce is.
Yeah.
You know a little about barbecue sauce.
A bit.
Yeah.
A bit, yeah.
Well, we got one more segment coming up. What do you got planned? Because I know you've got little notes you've been scribbling down in your hieroglyphics.
We want to talk about local and the definition of local and supporting local and being local.
We're loco local about being local.
Yes, we are.
Yeah. We are local.
But are
local
you local local?
Yeah. Are you local enough?
Are you faux local?
Focal.
Focal.
Focal. There you go. Faux local. Speaking of faux things, there's a fake Super Bowl on tonight. Neither one of us is watching it.
I'm not watching it.
Yeah. I have skipped every article that has come up in my social media this week about what to eat at your Super Bowl party because there's not one.
Hey, yes, wait sir. A minute. Tell them about the new Mardi Gras throws the beads in New Orleans.
Some of the beads they have in New Orleans are black beads with little yellow flags on the end of them.
Yeah, that should have been thrown. But,
yeah, that's hilarious.
Roger Goodell's going to prison. I mean, I've been saying it since he went in. He will be the first major sports commissioner to leave office and go to prison, federal prison. And I think that's where he's headed.
And not to start a whole new debate, but I'm wondering what role, if any, legalized betting may have played in that.
I will tell
thing.
You.
I really don't
the
trust
The reason
it.
That Vegas still gives odds on the NFL, my theory, my personal theory, because if you notice, Vegas has never done odds on wrestling, and that's how you know it's fixed.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason they're still giving odds on the NFL is because, and the NBA is because they're trying to lure a team to their city. And I think, honestly, if they weren't trying to get that, they wouldn't offer odds because, you know, it's scripted.
343-0106. You can call us or text them. Somebody call us.
Or don't. We don't care.
Yeah, just text us.
I'm satisfied with my self-love.
We're not caller-driven, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, we are.
But we are nominated for a Taste Award.
Heck yeah. Do you have to shout, Mike? Do you have to?
I did.
Woo! He's proud. Transmitter just went off.
I want a belt.
With a mustard sauce. Pork shoulder is the cut of choice. In Mississippi. And they fry themselves on barbecue. That's totally vinegary. In Louisiana, them Cajuns. They like to spice it up. They like to spice it up.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Test.
Mike and Stu, that's us.
Friend of mine's having surgery Tuesday. He's having not too far from what you're having in that area. Yeah. So I want to wish Rusty not good luck, but you know,
well wishes. Don't die. Don't
say
die.
That's
what me and my friends tell each other. All right, man, see you later, and don't die.
The sad thing about it, yesterday it started his vacation. So now he's
nothing like that.
Instead of him going out of town, he's in the hospital. And poor thing, I hate it for him. I really do.
Doesn't he get medical leave?
Great. I don't know. I guess he does. But Rusty's a good guy. He's in the wine business. He lives over in Pensacola.
Good luck, Rusty. But
good luck, Rusty. Man, you're going to do well. You're going to be all right. You're going to be all right.
Night.
But, hey.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. you know, we talk on the radio.
We do.
A lot.
Weekly.
About a lot of things.
Yeah.
And we always end our show with support local, be local, buy local.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I don't think people realize what that means.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in my opinion, you know, we have friends that think just because a restaurant's here that it's local.
Right.
And it's not.
Right.
There's some big fat cat sitting up in an office in an ivory tower in some big city.
And honestly, doesn't know the first thing about running a restaurant.
And doesn't know a single thing about the Mobile or Gulf Coast area.
Yep.
So,
but they're getting 70 cents out of every dollar Mobilian spend at the restaurant.
And to buy their yachts wheel and their vacation homes.
Mm-hmm.
And not
their ivory towers.
And not putting a dime of that back into the Mobile economy.
Well, and, they're putting 3 dimes back into the Mobile economy.
Yeah,
they're taking 7 dimes out.
Yeah. But, you know, there's another version of supporting local, too.
Oh, yeah. It's got to go the next level.
Yeah. And
if you are touting yourself as a locally owned establishment
mm-hmm.
and you tell people shop local,
mm-hmm.
you better be doing it, too.
As much as you can.
Right. As much as possible. And that's the thing, folks. Nothing can be totally – there's no such thing as a restaurant that's totally organic.
Right.
Unless it's in California where all the organic stuff is grown.
Absolutely.
Because once you put organic stuff on a train or a truck or whatever to move across the country, it's not organic anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so as organic as possible.
Yeah.
As local as possible.
Right.
But you got to make an effort. You know,
yeah.
Just because you are a locally owned restaurant, if you're serving Vietnamese shrimp, you're not a local restaurant.
Right.
You're a Vietnamese restaurant. In this country, you're a fraud is what you are.
Mm-hmm. pho.
If you are serving Vietnamese shrimp on the Alabama Gulf Coast, every single thing about your business plan is wrong.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
And it goes beyond that. I love that Dumbwaiter had no major beer brands in there, just local craft brews.
And you know, Chris at Noble South, you know, he was getting all his vegetables fresh daily at one point, and that just blew me. We know that you can't get everything local, but I know there happens to be beef available. There happens to be poultry available.
There is Wagyu beef raised in the state of Alabama.
Yeah, there's seafood, especially seafood. Now, right now, oysters are a problem.
Right now, oysters are a problem from Mobile waters.
Yeah,
from Mobile. But the Gulf is still available.
But that's regional. So,
and
you know,
keep in mind, Mobile Bay, Baldwin County, doesn't produce that many oysters. But 80% of all oysters in America are processed in Balabatry.
Yeah.
So, you know. That's something to think about.
And if
we really only have the one bay.
If you can't get local, get regional.
Right.
Or get statewide.
Yeah.
But,
you know, 150 miles is the radius for local.
Yeah.
Well, 150 miles west, you're in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. And 150 miles east, you're down past Apalachicola, Florida.
Yeah.
That's all our neighborhood.
That is our neighbors.
Right. And, you know, Mississippi is 20 minutes from us in one direction, and Florida is 30 minutes from us in the other direction.
Yeah.
That's local. That's our neighborhood.
That's our neighborhood.
Just because there are – man has drawn lines on the surface of the earth to denote different political jurisdictions doesn't mean that something from Moss Point's not local.
Right.
And, you know, another thing, and you could probably speak to this more than I can. We've got a lot of paper plants on the Gulf Coast. Moss Point, you know, Magazine Point had them for years. There's no excuse not to buy paper products made on the Gulf Coast.
Are there any more being made on?
Moss Point's still a fully occupied.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, you can smell.
Well, I don't know what they make though.
Yeah,
you know,
but you
know, printer paper,
right?
I know that it's not paper for. I know it's not paper for.
Pooping.
for newspapers paper? Anymore.
Yeah. Well, you know, yeah, because
unless it's the Lanyap. Yeah, there you go. They still print, and but you know, they need businesses need to look at their inventory about okay, where am I getting my seafood from? Who am I getting my seafood from?
Right.
Who am I getting my beef from?
Right.
Who am I getting? You know, is this available or produced closer that I can support them?
Right.
But you know what? If a restaurant is spending money with me to buy something I'm selling,
right?
I need to be going in there and spending money with them. Support those that support you.
I'll tell you someone that's very good about that. It's Kevin Brooks, our buddy. He's a chef, but now he works for Hill and Brooks. He's just – he was the same way when he was with Kelly Foods. He only patronizes in his off time the people that patronize him.
Yeah.
And as a rule. So, you know, now if he walks in and you got Red Diamond coffee or Red Diamond tea, which is terrible tea, by the way.
It is.
I know it's an Alabama product, but not everything we do in the state is great. But Red Diamond is terrible tea.
Milo's much better.
But, you know, he's gone. You know, he's headed for the place that sells Hill and Brooks coffee because they're supporting that local company. And here's the thing with the Hill and Brooks. Yeah, it's a small local company. They also make the best tea and coffee you can get in a restaurant.
Right.
Anywhere in the country.
Yeah.
Community is probably second behind them. And then Lipton, Louisiana, all of those. I push those way down.
Let me tell you what. John Russo was the person who taught me about, and this was a long time ago when I first got in the wine business, 32 years ago. John Russo taught me, you support those who support you.
Yeah.
And that's what you do.
It's circular. That's part of being a community.
Yeah. So, because I went to a big fat yeast roll restaurant one night. he said, well, we sell yeast rolls here. Why don't you come here and spend your money here? I spend money with you. You should be spending your money with me. And he was right.
Yeah.
And that was a valuable lesson.
And that builds our local economy. We need to keep the money in the area as much as we can.
Yeah.
Yeah. Taxes are going to pull a lot out.
Yeah.
Tourism's going to pull a lot out, but it's also going to bring a lot in.
So are you saying if you're among those that are spending millions on lottery tickets and casinos that you're not supporting local?
If you win,
who spends millions on lottery tickets?
I don't know.
Well, clearly, someone who doesn't
anybody close to the Florida, Georgia, or Tennessee lines.
They oh, you mean the entire community spending millions, not an individual?
Oh yeah, no.
Oh okay, I was way off.
Well, anyway, I hope we made sense today, folks. But
if there is one,
thank you
of
for
those,
listening.
We're a friend.
Get out there and support these local businesses. Local businesses, you support local too. Yeah. Support local, be local, buy local.
Tip,
Stu, and tip.
Earn yeah. the tip.
And I hope y'all have a beautiful day. Is bowling on TV? You got some golf on TV today.
Yeah, there's really nothing on TV tonight, so we're probably just going to watch a bunch of Marvel movies.
There you go. All right, folks.
Provolone.
Binge watch.
I get so tired of working all day.